Thank you so much, Brother Granberry, and you'd have to really work at not liking this man. He is a delightful person, and for some reason, God was ashamed of his head and covered it well. Isn't that right? And I'm back among so many friends. I was looking out over the congregation and saw so many of you that I've had the privilege of knowing now over the years, and I was looking at this wonderful group of veterans, and I was thinking, my goodness, long time, and then I thought to myself, be careful. It's not very long before I'm going to be, as the Lord tarries, just a few years. And it's been a wonderful journey and a thrilling journey. And thank you, Brother Granberry. Thank you, Presbytery. Thank you, Brother Burroughs. It is a delight to come home again. My wife is off preaching in Massachusetts tonight, a women's conference. And so may the Lord bless her and anoint her. I hope there's enough anointing for the both of us. And I told the folks before I came out here, now I preach until I get the anointing, so get to praying and working at it. I bring you greetings from headquarters. It has been a wonderful year. The Lord has blessed across this nation and especially around the world. And in spite of the tremendous pressures overseas at this particular moment, God is doing some incredible things, for when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord raises up a standard against it. And we have the reports now that we have seen more Muslims come to Christ in the last 10 years than all of recorded Christian history. And God is beginning to break down those barriers and bring men and women to the kingdom. Through the ages of the Assemblies of God in the 157 countries, sometimes we mention 162. There's several of them that we don't even mention because of the critical nature of our missionaries, our people that are there, not as missionaries, but as educators, as physicians. But through the ages of the Assemblies of God, last year alone, over 14,000 new churches were started. And we saw over 3.5 million people come to Jesus Christ. And that's because years ago, people like this said, we're going to raise up churches that have a vision. And we're going to see the kingdom of God advanced around the world. And we don't care what the devil says. We're going to do it anyway. People in the congregation that didn't have any money said, but we're going to give it anyway. And because of these people who gave their lives and sacrificed over the years, here we sit tonight with a brand new army of young preachers, mostly young, that sit before me, and I'm going to preach to you, and the rest of you may listen in if you want to. If you don't, it's a good time to take a nap. But I want these folks to listen, okay? And I pray that the Lord would use this moment with you. I'm going to preach a message entitled The New Testament Version of an Assemblies of God Preacher. My text is found in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. My son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit you to faithful men who shall be able to teach others. You therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him. That he may please him who hath chosen him. or her to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned, except he do it lawfully. Father, I pray that there will be no attempt at a cheap crown, that we will not attempt to please others first, but attempt to please you. May we know that the crowning day is when you are pleased, because all of the other awards are temporal. But we look for a city, and we look for a crown, and we look for a throne that are eternal. May we ever live to strive for masteries with excellence, so that you will be pleased now and forever. Amen. As someone has said so properly, we only recognize your ordination. We cannot ordain you. We cannot call you, but we can expect things from you. You are coming into the ministry at a time when it is the best and the worst. It is a time of great opportunity, and it's a time of great temptation. And I want you to make some decisions tonight. I get tired of preachers renegotiating. I believe that at ordination it is time to set some things down and nail them down where they are no longer negotiable. And I'm going to give to you what I believe is the New Testament version of an Assemblies of God preacher in the 21st century. And the first thing that I want to charge you with is this. Decide tonight to have a sanctified lifestyle. Decide that now. For you see, you are no longer your own. You are no longer living for self. You're living for others. And it's everybody's business if you sin. First of all, it's God's business if you sin. And don't go into this spin about the devil made me do it. Isn't the devil terrible? No, Jesus is so wonderful, we ought to be able to withstand anything that the devil throws in our way, for greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. So let's not blame the devil for something that's our responsibility. Let's decide now that we're going to serve God and we're going to please God because it's his business. And as Joseph of old, when he had the opportunity away from friends, away from the temple, away from the assemblies of God, away from the ministry, away from everybody that he knew, when this fox came to him and said, listen, no one will know. He said, how can I do this thing? How can I do this thing against the living God? For you see, Joseph realized that the most important thing in his life was to stay clean in relationship to God. It's God's business if you sin. It's your business if you sin. There's a man named David of old who sinned against God, and he said, not only did I sin against God, but my sin is ever before me. And you listen to me well tonight. You can't afford to mount the pulpit bearing the burden of the ministry and loaded up with secret sin. It's too much for a person to carry. Ultimately, it will destroy you. And wherever you go, there you are. And you can run from all the deacons and all the presbyters and even Springfield can't keep track of you, but wherever you go, there you are. And it's important for you to know that the man staring in the mirror is the man that's going to stay with you the rest of your life and for all of eternity. And not to please that man or that woman is foolish. And for your own sake, stay clean and decide tonight, I'm going to live a sanctified lifestyle. It's your family's business if you sin. You have taken a sacred oath. And it is time for the assemblies of God to be the leaders in the sanctity of the home and in the holiness of a marriage relationship. And decide tonight that flirting and playing with the opposite sex, even with the wink, has no part in your life. It's a decision that you make. I've been around for many, many years. I've preached in many, many churches. I've pastored for 25 years, and no woman has ever come on me that I know of. You know why? Because I wouldn't look at it. I wouldn't recognize it, because I said a long time ago, I don't want to play with fire. I don't want to even go near the thing. I want to serve the Lord and protect my family. It's a decision. It's a decision, and you need to make it tonight and say, I'm not going to have an unwholesome relationship. And it's my grief, every 2 months, to go through the Chamber of Horrors in the credentialing committee, when we have to read like some slimy secular magazine the filth that men and women who are called of God find themselves in, and now they've destroyed their families. And a while back, a man said to me, I hope you never have to go what I went through just the other day. I had to go to the home of a fine family and tell that wife that her husband was at the presbytery, confessing to a moral failure, and he said she dropped to the floor like she was polaraxed and crawled like an animal around that living room floor, groaning and screaming. I want you to know it's everybody's business how you live, and it's everybody's business if you sin, and it's your church's business if you sin. Have no idea how important you are. I don't care how they tell you that men and women don't respect the ministry anymore. I've got something to tell you. There is something constitutional in the lives of men and women who have been born again of the Spirit of God. There is something constitutional that looks at a shepherd, that looks at a leader. It's a divine, God-given respect and honor in the hearts and the lives of men and women, young people. And there is still an awesome respect for the ministry. And I ask you to protect that in Jesus' name. Don't you join the army of those that have walked across the platform and have had to hang it up in disgrace because thousands, yes, millions of people are lost today because shepherds said, I don't want to live the way I'm supposed to. I want to live the way I want to live. But my friend, it's the church's business if you sin. And it's the world's business if you sin. They laugh at our standards, but down deep they want us to keep them. And when they're in trouble, they want to come to a person with hands that are clean, with a good reputation, and that haven't broken the marriage vows and haven't played around with the world. They want somebody of God to come and to help them. And yes, they laugh, yes, they sneer, but let us not give them any more fodder. Let's rise above the filth of the past and say we're a new army of Assemblies of God preachers, and we're going to live in righteousness, we're going to live in holiness, and we're going to have a wholesome relationship with God and man and women and money and the world. We are going to keep ourselves, for we are the sanctified living body of Jesus Christ. And as leaders in that sanctified body, let's stay clean before God, because we have a resource at Calvary. Every day, every day, every day, go back to the blood, sir. Go back to the blood and have your sins cleansed afresh, and rise to walk in his power and in his glory, knowing that you can do it through his anointing. And it isn't the devil that can destroy you. It's the lack of decision. It's everybody's business if you sin. I want you to decide tonight to live a sanctified lifestyle. Secondly, I want you to have a ministry with a scriptural orientation. It's this book that we preach. This is what you are, first and foremost, a preacher of the word. You are not first and foremost a counselor. First and foremost a communicator. First and foremost a youth director or whatever. You're a first and foremost an ordained preacher, a preacher with something to say. And I have some terrible news for you. The world doesn't care what you think, and your church doesn't care what you think. They don't come to hear your opinions, sir. They come to hear, thus saith the Lord. They have come from out of this world that says there is no absolute. There is no way that you can live as an absolute. And as Solzhenitsyn, the great Russian philosopher, said, I have lived in America, and I have come to the conclusion that America is a big village with no signposts left. And this is a world that says, there is no way that you can speak with absolute authority. But I come to deny that, because there has always been a group of men and women from day one that the Holy Spirit of God has anointed and put his hand upon and said, I have ordained you to stand and to preach the word of the living God, and you declare it with power and with anointing, and you know this book, sir. You know it backwards and forwards. Start in the morning with this book instead of CNN. Begin with this book instead of USA Today. Get to this book and know it backwards and forward. The rest of it can be secondary, but you have got to know this word today as never before. And I have some wonderful things to tell you. It's a book of good news. What have you been preaching lately? Here's good news. I said there's good news. Hey, hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's even good news about the devil in here. He's done for. He's a has-been. He's over the hill. He's a zero with the rim knocked off. He's nothing, nothing, nothing. Hallelujah. Because I got good news. The king is victorious and the devil is defeated. Praise his name. Pardon me for getting a little excited. But I tell you what, it's a thrill. It's a marvel. Oh, to think that there's a preacher in the Assemblies of God that doesn't know what to preach or doesn't like to preach. What's the matter with them? They got something wrong constitutionally with them. They need the baptism of fire and a new anointing, because it's a privilege to stand and say, I have come from the throne and I've got good news for you this morning. Hallelujah. Your sins are forgiven. Praise. praise the Lord. With the authority of God's word, you're no longer headed for hell. You're headed for heaven. Good news. Good news about God. Saw a throne set in heaven. No more elections. No more partisan politics. And he shall reign. He shall reign forever and ever. Hallelujah. I got good news about the church. You can read all you want to. I take note of these guys that spend their days analyzing the church. It's okay. More power to them. But after they've said it all and tell you about all the demographics and about all the levels of how difficult it is and how America's going and what this group says and what this bunch does, I get the book out and I read some good news. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I think it's time for our people to get back to the book and stop looking at the demographics. It's time for the church to rise up and say, yes, we have failed in some areas, but our Lord leads on, and he's going to build a church that even the spots and wrinkles will be gone. Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. When I pastored, I got a new doctrine every once in a while. Tribulation's going through the church. But that's when I looked at it like a man. When I looked at it like a student. But when I looked at it as a preacher, I said, fooey on that. I'm in the best thing going. I tell you what, the head's still alive. And the boss is still in charge. And he speaks every language. And he trumps any board. And he anoints any preacher. And he speaks every word. And I want you to know that he's got an agent called the Holy Ghost that comes alongside and says, the church shall live. Glory to God. You're part of a victorious, wonderful church. So don't get critical about the church. Begin to lift up the Christ, the head of the church, and pretty soon the church will follow. Amen. Good news. Besides all that, such good news, because it's settled. You know what scholars are for? Scholars are to just help us tell it better. And I'll tell what it is. See, all the scholars in the world do not have the equipment, nor do they have the authorization to change this book, because it's already settled in heaven. And they can talk all they want, or they can study all they want to, but they dare not change it, because, my friend, no student, no scholar, no man of this world can change and counteract the promises of God that are yea and amen to them that believe it. And I say to our scholars, help us just to show how powerful it is. Show how eternal it is. Don't bring up questions. Don't minister questions. That's already settled. But just tell me how to do it better. Preach it better. Make it clear better, because I want to declare it with clarity that this word is settled forever. It's the inspired, inerrant word of the living God. It's a healing word. You preach this word, and you'll do more with one anointed sermon than 65 hours of private counseling. I'm not against counseling. It's just inefficient. You understand what I'm saying? There are people that make a living at it, so I don't want to knock it. But for a Pentecostal preacher, counseling is inefficient. You know why? Because you have to take them one at a time. And you get a church of any size and you don't have time. And you can do more in 30 minutes under the anointing directed by heaven, preaching to the flock of God the Lord has put in your place, than spending 600 hours alone with them. You hear me? This is a healing word. Hallelujah. It's the word that changes their minds and gets down into the subconscious and destroys the cause effects of all the hell they're living. One moment in the presence of the living God can do more than all the medicine of this world. It's a healing word. It heals the mind. You get people looking at Jesus instead of their phobias. And you know what? Pretty soon their phobias will go down and Jesus will get better. Hallelujah. I just feel sorry for some people who have to labor all the time. One at a time. Ooh, I labor with that. But I thank God that I've seen congregations moved and touched and healed by the power of God. It's a healing word. It's a supernatural word. You preach it and you'll get results. You preach salvation and you believe it with all your heart. The absolute truth. I was reading again about the good news in Romans chapter 10. It just blew your mind. My goodness. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Think about that. That it's a complete salvation. There's no ifs, maybes, buts, or buts. There's no contingency plan. There's no difference between a Greek and a Jew. No difference between a man and a woman. It doesn't matter how many times they've sinned. The fact remains that the grace of God has covered it all, and whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if there's somebody in this room tonight that's under sin's guilt, I got good news for you. Hallelujah. There is a power that flows from Calvary still. And by the authority of God's word, I tell you, you can put your sins off your shoulders and put them on the Lamb of God. And you're free, because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. The word of God is a healing word, a saving word, a healing word. Pardon me, I need to get up here. I'm embarrassed. Don't you act like this. Don't you yell at your congregation. You be nice to them. But I'll never forget as a little boy, my preacher, Daddy and my mom were wonderful folks, loved Jesus. But in the early days of their main ministry that lasted 32 years, my mother got so embroiled in activities, and we had so many evangelists that our home was like a hotel. She ran all of the educational part of the church. It had all kinds of responsibilities and had the largest class in the church and taught that. And then one day she heard that her favorite sister had cancer, and within 6 weeks Hazel was gone. Something snapped in my mother. And she was bedfast. And I can remember my preacher daddy going in, crying and groaning and praying. About 6 weeks after this, the doctor had said, I have no idea whether she'll come out of this. I was in her bedroom, and in that bedroom was one of the old Franklin stoves. I don't know if anybody here would remember the freestanding Franklin stove. Heat that house in the state of Maine, the second floor. It was a warm day and the fire was not burning. And my mother was lying there and I was five or six, I was playing with some toys at the foot of her bed. And she said to me, Charles, bring me that piece of paper sticking up on the stove. And there was a big, round, black piece of paper that had gotten between the body and the little ledge. And she looked at it. And I just remember her beginning to worship. I was to find out later that it was a piece out of the Pentecostal Evangel. They used to put a verse of scripture in a big black spot. And it said, I am the Lord, and healeth me. Down by her hand, and she picked it up, and it was the same. Little piece of paper. I am the Lord that healeth thee. 2 days later, we got in the 1947 Plymouth, had a running board. She was well enough to take a ride for the first time in 2 months. As she got in, she saw a little piece of paper stuck between the body of the car and the running board. And when she picked it up, the power of God flowed through my mother, and for 40 years she lived in health and in strength. I am here to tell you, I do not understand it, but that's not my job. My job is to declare it. And if you ever get to the point you're going to try to understand it, you're dead meat. But you get up Sunday by Sunday and shout it aloud. I am the Lord that heals. I am the Lord that saves. Hallelujah. I am the Lord that fills. And you'll get what you preach. You preach questions and you'll get question marks. You get doubt and you'll have doubters. You preach with a carnal spirit and you'll have a bunch of carnal Christians. But you get up and you preach with the anointing of God, knowing that no matter what a man does has nothing to do with what you do. The whole world can turn against you. But if you'll be true to this book, God will save the lost in the 21st century. He'll heal the sick. He'll fill men with the Holy Ghost. You'll be a preacher of the word. And finally, I want you to have a supernatural ministry. Your people of holiness, your people of the book, and you're a people of the Holy Spirit. You're a Pentecostal preacher. And don't fall into this nonsense of trying to figure out who I am. I'll tell you right now, the God of heaven has ordained you. The word of faith is now in your mouth. You are a man and a woman of God. You are a preacher of this book. And furthermore, you are a preacher of Pentecostal authority with a Pentecostal experience. And stop trying to figure it all out again. They'll never be able to figure out the reason why they're trying to talk about delayed evidence and all this nonsense is because they're getting their eyes off the supernatural and they're trying to figure out something that the human mind cannot even comprehend. It is time for us to be proud again, to rediscover again that we're people
full of the Holy Ghost. We speak in other tongues. We pray in another tongue. We believe in the gifts of the Spirit. We believe in the anointing of the Holy Ghost. We believe the power of God. We believe that our God is a God of the supernatural. I believe in miracles because the miracle worker is still alive. I believe in miracles because my God performs miracles when we preach it. And so I want you to know that you're a Pentecostal, Holy Ghost filled, tongues speaking, assemblies of God, preacher of the holy book, full of the Holy Ghost, full of a holy lifestyle that will stand when the whole gates of hell come against you. You are able to move outside the circumstance. Stop changing your circumstance and build your faith. Your circumstances will probably never be just right. But you preach the word, and your God will perform miracles in and through your life. And it is my prayer right now that you will decide, I'm done with sin in any form. Don't have time for it, and it causes nothing but heartache. I'm a person of the book. After I know this thing backwards and forwards, then maybe I can take a look at what others think. But this is the most important roadmap and sermon book in your library. And if you take somebody else's sermon, make sure that it lines up with the book. Pray it through to a born-again experience. And turn it into your own message with the full conviction that it is a message from God, not from another man. And then go out in challenging faith. Don't be a little kind of, you know, weakling. I just can't stand a little weakling of a preacher. Just say, well, now, you know, I'm afraid of, I might do this, I might be a little bold here. Well, the New Testament church would not exist unless there were a bunch of guys that didn't care what the world thought, but knew what God thought. And your responsibility is to preach it with kindness and love, but you preach it with authority. And don't you be a milquetoast. Don't you dare be a little teensy woonsy little. Don't you dare do that. You stand up on your two hind legs when you confront the devil, and I want you to blast him out of his place. I want you to stand and conquer, for we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. We are not victims. We're victorious because we're Pentecostal, Holy Ghost filled preachers of the word of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.